SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back in Phoenix at the Super Bowl. Look who it is, Dr. Zhivago, the most popular guy on Coast to Coast with millions of fans. They clamor for Dr. David Chow every week on C2C, the stuff of legend from Sports Injury Central at Pro Football Doc on social media. I just wanted to say, Doc, that your enormity is amazing to me. Monday, when no one was here, you were the most popular guy in the room. Tuesday, as the crowd began to swell, you were the most popular guy in the room. Wednesday, when we're almost at 80% capacity, I noticed that every person that matters in the NFL or player, retired or otherwise, knows you. You're very popular. Like, I was like, this guy's got so much juice, Dr. Zhivago. Like, I saw every player said hi to you. And I said it was because he was the Chargers doctor for so long. What's it like to come here to the Super Bowl and everybody knows you and you get that kind of love?
Well, thank you for that. It's great to be here in person.
My man, Doc.
But as I always say, like, you know, I have an advantage here in an NFL room. Unless there's an analytics guy running around, I'm the only Asian in the room, so it's
smarter than everyone.
I'm easy to recognize. I think that's what it is.
I said earlier that you looked like my producer DC Cab from San Francisco. He runs the Giants radio network. I thought when you waved at me yesterday, I thought you were him, but then I realized the enormity of you, and I went, "No, that's Dr. Zhivago." So, tons of these. How many of these have you been to? I've been to 25 radio rows.
I've been to 25. I started in New York. I was here in Phoenix. Last time it was here. I did all of them until the pandemic. The last big one was Miami, then pandemic stuff.
Right.
And LA was smaller. We went for a little bit.
I saw you there last year.
Yeah. LA, we went for a little bit.
So what do you think of my food poisoning, Doc? What would you say that the basically salmonella got me? It's a bad thing at my age. I have injuries from it. I have like back in my, I feel like I got stomped by a biker gang. Like they threw me on the ground and stepped on me a bunch of times and kicked me after all the lunging and heaving and sickness. Mafia had it first and then I got it. That's no joke, food poisoning.
No, you need an IV. I'll start one on you.
It was awful. Did you bring your IV pack to the radio row?
You know, I would have been very popular. I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, but I saw a couple guys, including yesterday, I won't say any names, that they literally were calling for an IV service. I probably could have brought my bag and, you know, gone, you know.
Because they were. Or otherwise.
Something, yeah. A different kind of food poisoning.
Yeah, well, my food poisoning was food poisoning. I don't drink. I don't do bad things, Doc. I'm too focused. As you know, I'm playing basketball to be.
There we go.
You know, finagling with such trivial matters. So what are we looking at here for this Chiefs team? Because all these guys like Tony and Hilaire, they're all Juju. They had Sneed's coming back from a concussion. Are they masking that they're still all injured and they all think they can play in this game? Or do you think they'll be effective at all?
Well, first of all, you know, by the time you get to the Super Bowl, it's healthier teams that get there, barring last minute stuff. L'Jarius Sneed has cleared his concussion protocol. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is activated and he'll back up Pacheco. You know, Mecole Hardman's on IR, and that fit what we were saying with his core muscle. But Kadarius Toney, I believe him. He will play. By video, we saw some coaches film. It's an inversion basketball-type ankle sprain, and we actually think he has a good matchup. And the good matchup is against Avante Maddox, who was in a boot last week again with his toe. And everyone said, oh, he played well against the 49ers, but was he tested? Certainly not in the second half.
No.
I mean, not even in the first half. So I think
that game was over 5 minutes into the game.
And so that was interesting there. And then Juju, look, it's the Super Bowl. I don't see how he doesn't play. You know, I think it's more of a patellotendinitis from practice. And I think he's going to roll through and play. Mahomes obviously played well. He backed up his 84-6 score last week.
Right.
You know, 326 yards, 105.4 quarterback rating. That's 84% Patrick Mahomes. He'll be 50% healthier this week, but not at 100%. We've raised his six score to 91.
So he'll be better off. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 159. Our thanks again to SiriusXM and Steve Cohen, Eric Spitz, Scott Greenstein, everyone involved in having us be a part of their Super Bowl coverage again this year from the SiriusXM stage, the most magnificent stage at Radio Row, plus Sports Byline USA in the city by the bay, San Fran, Cali, Deepak holding it down for us. Let's talk about him for a second. So Mahomes, 50% better than he was last week. He won the game. He was hit a couple times and started limping in the game. He was injured again, so it came back. And he was able to still pull that game out and win. And you're saying just by having the extra days off that he's going to be 50% better.
Yeah, I mean, you saw when he moved to his left, he couldn't do it because he couldn't rotate on that right ankle. When he ran to the right at the end of the game, he did it. And we also said, you know, he wasn't going to drive the ball downfield because he can't plant the back foot, be accurate, and drive the ball. But with his off-axis passes and off passes that he always does, wrong foot normally,
right.
He was able to complete some stuff underneath, and he did, and he did well. You know, so I think he's only better this week.
So Sports Injury Central, go check it out for all the injury updates that you need for the game on Sunday. They got it down to a science all season long. It's badass. You love Dr. Zhivago, Sports Injury Central, Dr. David Chow. Always good to see you, Doc.
All right,
my man,
you.
Thanks for coming on. Great having you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wow, what a great show today already from Radio Row in Phoenix at the Convention Center. And we are just kicking ass and taking names here on Sports Grid TV. Let's keep rolling along, Carver High. I know you got a little more material for me on AD's little fit last night. I don't know if you describe it any other way. The guy didn't participate in LeBron's big moment.
Look, I went back and watched him after the game because I didn't see anything when I woke up real early this morning about this. He seemed obviously upset afterwards, and I think that one thing that we have to factor in here is, and all he kept bringing up was, I want to win games. Like, even though they had their big celebration on the court last night, like, didn't they were getting whacked when that happened. I mean, they were down like 12 when LeBron hit that shot. So once again, they're losing the game. They lose again last night. I think it's easy to pile on AD because I'll admit, he probably should have went over and at least, you know, gave the guy like a half-hearted hug. But maybe there's a little competitor here who's like, all right, we're going to stop the game for 20 minutes. I mean, we're getting blown out anyway. Does anybody care about winning around here? I mean, that's an aspect that I kind of see from it also.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. But I think you're right that that's probably the vibe that he was under at the time. But I also think it's very wrong and disrespectful to ignore a moment like that in sports history. You have to understand, the record stood for 39 years. I mean, no one thought it was humanly possible to ever catch that number and that that would stand the test of time in history forever. And he toppled it. You have to acknowledge that moment. And I think the NBA did a great job of it. I think the Lakers did a great job of it. I think the fans did a great job of it. I think Adam Silver, I thought Kareem, I thought Magic, I thought everyone that was involved in it did a great job. And I thought Anthony Davis did a shacky job of handling the moment. Yeah. I mean, my man did nothing to support the moment. And I thought that it made him look weak. It's just that simple. Like, bro, you would have to get up and give some love to your boy.
There's also a clip that I've been being passed around of LeBron and him on the bench early in the fourth quarter. So this is after all the celebration. LeBron's giving him like a big hug. I love you, man, like all this stuff, people reading it. So who knows what the deal is. Whatever, it is what it is. He's the all-time leading scorer now. Knicks beat the Magic 102-98. Suns beat the Nets, Scotty. Cam Thomas, 43. Third straight game.
Can you believe that?
With 40-plus points, the youngest in NBA history to do that. Your boy filling it up nightly.
You know, and even at the end of the game with no time left, the buzzer rang and he shot another one that was after the fact. And he made that too. He threw it up in the air like a teardrop and it fell. He would have had 45. This guy is literally seizing the moment. They're like, all right, listen, Kyrie stabbed us in the back and we're going to give you the rock. And you go out and do whatever you got to do, shake and bake. And my man is simply going off. Now, let me say something as well about this guy, Kyrie Irving. What a reminder this guy is. You know, if you want to know who he is, because everyone tries to figure him out. He's like, people talk about what I do off the court. They don't ever talk about what I do on the court. People disrespect me. If you want to know who he is, if you want to know who he is, all you have to do is see how he handled leaving, saying that nobody respects me and they disrespected me while I was in Brooklyn. Are you effing kidding me? This guy saying that they disrespected him in Brooklyn. Like, he never played. He never vaccinated. He never did. The world is flat. He went after the Jewish faith. What didn't he do wrong? He missed games weeks at a time for personal reasons. The guy's a clown. He's an absolute clown. All I know is, and then you leave and you say, nobody respected me. I'm going where I'm not tolerated, where I'm applauded and cheered. Like, are you kidding me, dude? Everywhere he's been, he's left a pile of Shaq.
Let's go. I wanted to play. I saved this just for you so that you could see him spilling all of this yesterday. He met the media after being his first practice with the Mavs. Here he is. Wants to be celebrated, not just tolerated. Kyrie Irving for you.
Whatever.
You know, but for me personally, you know, just sitting in this seat today, I just know I want to be places where I'm celebrated and not just tolerated.
That's who he is.
Or just... you know, kind of dealt with in a way that doesn't make me feel respected. And there were times throughout this process when I was in Brooklyn where I felt very disrespected and my talent. I work extremely hard at what I do. No one ever talks about my work ethic, though. Everyone talks about what I'm doing off the floor.
Who owes you
I just want to change that narrative, write my own story, and just continue to prepare in the gym. And now that I'm in Dallas, just focus on what I can control, like I said. But when things start to change and you're not getting transparency and honesty from people in the front office or people around
everybody's
you.
Everybody's a liar in Brooklyn, right?
I don't know
what
person feels comfortable or confident in that type of environment.
Everybody's again, a liar, but you're a friend of Jesus.
It's water under the bridge now. Like, I wish them well. I left them in fourth place.
No, you don't.
I did what I was supposed to do.
Left them in fourth place.
Took care of my
place.
Teammates. Was incredibly selfless in my approach to leading. And I just wanted to do all the right things for myself, not to appease anybody.
My man is backstabber central right here.
To judge me.
Bro, you are absolutely paranoid, tripping ass. I mean, that is all you need to know. Can we keep that clip forever on Sports Grid so we can show everyone how not to blow up the entire village and kill the women and children when you're leaving town? I mean, my man, who didn't he blame right there in that vignette? What an atrocity this guy is. You know what you're going to get? In Dallas, what you're going to get is exactly what you just got. When he's done with you, he's going to talk about how you didn't respect him. This guy is absolutely from another planet. He is the worst reprehensible example of a prima donna athlete narcissist in sports. He's the king, top of the heap. There's no one that can touch this guy for how completely bizarre he is. And you know what's funny? I said this yesterday. He's another one of these dookies. They all think they're the smartest guy in the room. My man thinks he's smarter than everybody. You are just absolutely on acid, bro. You're on acid. I mean, there's a perfect way. Send that to the journalism school. Here's how to not ruin your career by throwing everyone under the bus. It's everyone else's fault. I'm perfect. Everyone else disrespects me. Like, you're pathetic. You're absolutely pathetic. Good effing riddance, you asshat. I cannot stand this guy. I can't stand him. and I know how great of a player he is. I don't give a rat's ass how great of a player you are. You're such an asshat that everyone, I mean, it's just like, what an irritant this guy is. Honestly,
yes.
He is a pig. You heard me, pig. He's a selfish pig. I don't, goodbye, good riddance, I don't care. And they won't win there either. Mark my words, I went to dinner last night arguing with my buddies. They're like, they're going to win a title. They're
going
to win a title.
No way.
With two guards that can't stop being ball hogs. Good luck.
I left him in fourth place, he said. I mean, imagine saying that. I left him in fourth place. That's the one thing you want to. And the trade deadline is tomorrow, Scotty. There are rumors swirling, reports out there that the Nets are seriously considering also unloading Durant before tomorrow.
How stupid are you?
And just completely starting over. You're right. How stupid could that be? That is as dumb.
How stupid are you? What I would do is roll a wheelbarrow full of money up to his condo and just say, can you just simmer down and give us 30 a night?
I know, but give him more. They already have done that.
We'll give him more money. And then just say, can you give us 32 a night and just play it out? Because I'll tell you what, Cam Thomas can score as much as Irving can score. You've seen that. And they got other talent. They need to keep Durant. Trading Durant is stupid. If they trade him, what's going to happen is it's a total complete rebuild. It's an absolute start over. And I don't think they need that. I think they need to pick up the pieces from where they are right now and move forward.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
You know, you place a single first basket, score a bet on any NBA game up to $25 risk-free. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You're going to be loving it once you hook up with BetMGM, son. It's the Lion's Share brought to you by BetMGM. All right, Carver, hi. What are we doing, some NBA here?
Lion's Share, of course. Usually we look at props or whatever. I figured we're not going to have any other time, Scotty, to get tonight's NBA action in. So why don't we do it during the Lion's Share today? Let's rock. We'll start in Cleveland, where we have the Pistons and the Cavs tonight. Pistons getting 11.5 on the road. 221.5 is the total.
You know, I would say when it was at 13.5, it was, you know, dangerous. But I think you're telling me it's at 11.5 now?
11.5, I'm willing to go there with
the Cavs tonight at home at the Rocket. I think they'll cover that. I think Detroit's awful.
Next, we have the Hornets in Washington against the Wiz tonight. Wizards -4.5, 235.5 is the total.
Yeah, I actually loved this one when I first saw it at 5 with the Wizards. I'm willing to do that. Lay the 4.5. I think Washington beats them at home. You know, as long as Beal and Porzingis are doing what they're doing on a nightly basis, I think they're too much for Charlotte. And I know LaMelo's had a couple of decent games lately, but the Hornets are awful too, like the Pistons are.
Next, the heavy hitter game of the night, Scotty, is in Boston, where we have the Sixers and the Celtics. Celtics -4.5, 224.5, the total at the TD.
I got to tell you, I just think that this number's doable for Boston. You know, a lot of their games are 7.5, 8, you know, 9, 9.5. You don't see them this tight at 4.5. And obviously they're respecting JoJo and Harden and Maxey, et cetera, right? But for my money, you know, Boston at home and Tatum is unstoppable. I mean, this guy's going to He's going to have 35 points. He's going to do what he does. And depending on what, you know, Brown gives him and Williams and all the rest of them, the reality, Brogdon, let's see what they do. White. But I just think they're too good at home, Boston. And not only that, they go to the line so much and get so many calls. I like Boston there laying the 4.5. I think they'll beat the Sixers by, you know, six or more.
Indiana, South Beach tonight for them to take on the Heat. Lowry is going to miss a bunch of games, Scotty, as he's got some injuries he's dealing with ahead of the trade deadline tomorrow. Heat minus 6.5, 222.5 the total.
Yeah, he's got a fatness injury. So he's just fat, and that's why he doesn't play. And he's finished, fat and finished. There's no way to go through life, son. Look, I saw this one this morning. I'm willing to bet that. I was willing to lay six with the Heat tonight against Indy. I love Halliburton, Mathurin. I don't deny that they're good. But Miami in Miami with Jimmy Buckets and company Adebayo and your boy Hero Sandwich, I think the Heat handle that number and win by 7-10.
Next, we will go to Toronto, where the Raptors are home for the first time in weeks. They were on a very long West Coast trip with a couple stops in Texas and Memphis as well at the back end. They have the Spurs coming into Toronto tonight. Raptors minus 11.5 now. 232.5 is the total.
You know, I know it sounds crazy, but I think they handle the number because the Spurs are so bad. I mean, I think anyone that plays them can beat them by 15 to 20 points if they're good. Toronto's tough. I mean, they can pour it on you if they're on, you know, their game. I kind of like them finally being at home, finally getting some of that home juice cooking. And I think they roll the Spurs tonight by, you know, 15 at least. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm not willing to lay that kind of number in any game in the NBA unless the team that I'm doing it with sucks, and they certainly suck. I don't care what anybody says. Popovich's team sucks. That's all there is to it. They're awful. And not only that, I've watched them play. They suck.
Raptors, another team, Scotty, everybody's keeping their eyes on before tomorrow as the rumors continue to swirl that they might make some big moves up there in the six. All right, the Kings are in Houston again. This is one of these stay in the same city for two game deals. They whacked the Rockets the other night, Scotty. They stay in town. Now they're laying 9.5. 239.5 is the total. They put a $140 on them the other night.
So that was the game they beat them 140 to 120, and now they're playing them again?
Yes. Yes.
Listen, they are no match for the Sacramento Kings on any stretch. Seriously, they're going to do them again. That's it. I've been saying this over and over to you that they're dropping $130 a game, and they're, you know, on point every night. They just score a lot. They move the ball. They get to the 10. They score, and they just keep scoring, and they eventually rub you out, and that's just all there is to it. I don't believe that the Rockets can hang with them. They proved it the other night. I think the same thing happens.
Minnesota, who got absolutely destroyed in Denver last night at the ball against the Nuggets. Now they are in Utah tonight against the Jazz. Jazz minus 5.5, 236.5, the total.
I mean, they got stomped last night. What makes me think that anything better is going to happen tonight in Salt Lake? I know that the Jazz have had their problems, but for the most part, they play pretty decent at home. Markkanen and company. I still like the Jazz in this spot against the T-Wolves. I think the T-Wolves proved last night they were doing paycheck games. We don't care if we win. Just give us our money.
There's nothing wrong with getting paid, Scotty. I mean, they want to get those paycheck games in. I mean, the check's going to clear no matter what.
Next, I love money.
Here we go. Dallas at the Crypto tonight against the Clippers. This will be the debut for Kyrie Irving, but Scotty, no Luka tonight for the Mavs. Doncic is out, so the Mavs are getting 8.5, 220.5 is the total.
Well, you would think that he would put on a show tonight, right? He's going to be the man, the featured attraction in the new Dallas lineup. My guess is Irving scores 40 or more. I think he's going to put on a show. I think they cover the number. I think the Clippers win. I'm willing to middle it. I think Irving, you know, you don't see me ridiculing his game. You don't ever hear me talk about his game. There's no denying his game. His game is Fat City. He's got all kinds of tricks in that bag. He's good to go. But the reality is, that has nothing to do with how I feel about him as a person. I can't stand this guy. I'm glad he's gone. But I think tonight he puts on a show and scores a ton of points and gives the Clippers all they can handle.
His number is 27.5 tonight. Over. Kyrie.
I bet he's going to have 40.
In the lineup. Yeah. I could absolutely see that. No question about it. All right, next, the Warriors' final game of the night. The other late-night left coast game. Warriors are in Portland at the Moda against the Blazers. Blazers minus 2.5. 234.5 is the total. Of course, Curry is out. Klay and Draymond questionable for this one, Scotty, as of right now. So there you go.
Well, if I were to, you know, follow my own rules, if the entire team is not playing, bet on the Warriors. If the entire team is out and everybody's going to run to the window on Portland because nobody's playing for the Warriors will win and cover. But if the day started and I didn't know that Klay and Dre were game time, that I didn't know about their status this morning. When I first looked at it, I won't deny I was on the Blazers. I'm like 2.5 in Rip City with Dame time. I thought that was a bet I could lay some money on. I'm willing to. I even said to my guy for Pharrell on the bench, I'm like, let's just hold off. We'll put it up before game time, 15 minutes before game time. I want to see who's playing. Because I kind of like Portland tonight. But you know what I just said, right? If everyone, now that I know no one's playing on the Warriors, the entire team is out, then I'm betting on the Warriors.
I'm trying to get all the reports from all their guys. It sounds like Klay and Draymond are going to play tonight. It sounds like they're going to be out there.
Why wouldn't he play? Didn't he just have 47 and 12 threes in a game?
12 threes, 42. Nurkic out for Portland tonight. So no Nurkic for the Blazers on their side of things. I like the Warriors tonight, Scotty. I'm in on the Dubs, so I'm going to go with you there.
They can be fine without Nurkic. He's a clumsy white boy. Honestly, I'm not afraid of him.
Dame for 40 and Klay for 40 tonight. A little special for you. Let's go 40-40 club. Dame and Klay, back-to-back for Klay. Hit up with the little.
We got a little Barry Bonds 40-40 club.
40-40 club in a Warrior-Blazer game late night. And maybe we'll throw Kyrie for 40 on there, too. Triple 40s. Kyrie, game time, Klay, triple 40s. There you go. The lion's share, brought to you by BetMGM for tonight's NBA action. Let's make it happen, Scotty.
Listen, I'm ready, you know, and I like those prop bets you got going there. Like, I am literally willing to go over on all of them. All three of those guys I'm going over to Rainbow on. I got to tell you, I do better in NBA props than I do with all these stupid Super Bowl props. Your sheet of integrity is what I'm going with on props this year. I'm not doing any props. I'm done with it. I don't care who wins the effing coin toss. I don't care how long the anthem is. Give me some shrimp cocktail.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High back in Phoenix at Super Bowl 57. And what a scene at Radio Row, the convention center in downtown PHX, son. We're in the valley gigging, getting ready for Chiefs-Eagles on Sunday. What is Andy Reid saying as we get closer to kickoff?
Yeah, we could start while we're waiting for Jay to go on with Andy Reid, Scotty, about his time in Philadelphia. Of course, that has been one of the big talking points leading up to the game on Sunday, one of the two most talked about for sure. Here's Reid talking about his time with the Eagles.
Yeah, listen, I had 14 great years there. I loved every minute of it. It's a great organization. I still am close with the people there. It was great to see the kids that we had drafted that are now these veteran players, all pro players. And on that team, I had a chance to give him a hug last night, and now we go our separate ways and we get ready to play. So it's but I'm proud of him for what they've done. Proud of Howie Roseman for what he's done. He's done a great job of retooling that team a couple different times, and that's not an easy thing to do. And he probably doesn't get enough credit for that.
Listen, I think Howie's the clear and runaway winner of Executive of the Year in the NFL for the team that he put together and just the moves he made. It was like every week he was making another move to strengthen that team at every position, no matter what. If there was ever a weakness, he would fill it, and seal it off with a deal. I just thought he was incredible. And I think it's really a class act move by Reed to speak so highly of his time in Philadelphia with the Eagles. And they are a great franchise. And they're run by, Jeff Lurie and obviously Howie Roseman have done an incredible job. They really have. I respect them, even though I'm a Steeler fan and I hate the Eagles. And I go to Eagles games, as you know, incognito. Jason Scott is the VP of trading at BetMGM. And one thing I wanted to tell everybody before I bring Jason on is very important. If you get that first bet up to $1,000 risk-free on any NBA game for new customers, visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, and you too can style like the big ticket. Jason, I know that it's great to have you on Coast to Coast here from the Super Bowl. Why would I ever say anything nice about the Philadelphia Eagles being a Steeler fan, Jason? I mean, it's like against my religion.
Scotty, you're such a good-natured man. I can't imagine you disliking anybody, let alone the Eagles.
I'm telling you. Tell me about your setup in Arizona. What BetMGM has done inside the state now. I know that some of the guys on SportsGrid are doing shows at the BetMGM Sportsbook. Tell me about your setups that you got here.
Yeah, so we've got the sports book, which is on the grounds of State Farm Stadium, probably 80 to 100 yards away from the actual stadium and the field. It's a two-story building, restaurant, bar. We've got about 20 self-service betting machines. Your typical sports book, you can bet cash at the windows you would in any Vegas book. Right now, you're correct. It looks more like a production studio with cameras and cords and whatever else. But we've got that, and as well as that, we've got our digital business in the state, which is really growing incredibly. Arizona's a state that's taken on sports betting incredibly quickly and incredibly well. And they're on the back of the Suns right now, given the dismal performance of the Cardinals.
Wow. So I can't imagine having that right there on the grounds of State Farm and what it's going to be like there on Sunday and the amount of money that's going to be handled in that facility. I mean, that is scary.
Yeah, look, we're hoping that we hit to somewhere like some of the smaller mid-sized Vegas books. We're expecting to see multiple five-figure bets. I doubt whether we'll get to a six-figure bet just in handling cash. They'll come in through the digital. But I think we'll see plenty of interest for people both just coming in to have a look around at the book, but also more importantly for people trying to have a bet. It's a perfect place for it.
So is it true that, like, because you're so important and huge and have so much juice, that when you went to the media center, they would not let you in the building knowing with facial recognition that the powerful Jason Scott was on the premises and that you would come down in here and end up getting 100% of the locals' money. So they kept you outside and forced you to do the show on video conference. It's unbelievable, your popularity.
I'm about 400 meters away from you, Scotty. I'm in the area where you're meant to get your credentials. It's fair to say some very large queues, some people not liking Australians, and I've struggled to get in. But all of you, I'm still willing to take everyone's money.
They thought you were a criminal. They have no idea who they're dealing with. So let me ask you about the prop bet business for the Super Bowl. Let's say, what was last year like in Lipstick City for prop bets for you guys? And then how much more will it increase this year, year to year?
Yeah, look, we're expecting with the new states that are on, that have come in, certainly Maryland, Ohio, they've taken the sports betting like fish to water. So we think we'll see a 40% increase in tickets written this year and probably about a 30, 35% increase in handle. Look, we're going to have close to 1,000 prop bets, which frankly is more of a vanity play. It's kind of like an arms race between all the books to see who can write the most props. 30 to 40 props will hold all the, take all the money. Right now, 37-34, Eagles win is our disastrous result. Somebody's tweeted something out and the world's come and we've written for 2 days, it's every second bet's 37-34 Eagles.
So wait, so that and that you're telling me is a disastrous outcome for you?
Yeah, I think someone's tried to use the Arian Foster scripted model and they've convinced plenty of people on social media that the script says 37-34, Scotty.
Do you buy that? What is your thinking on this game? Because I don't buy that. Like, whoever's flushing that down the river toward you, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I can't see it being a 70-point game. I think both defenses, certainly the Eagles' defensive line, are going to be challenged. We're exactly where we were a fortnight ago with Mahomes going playing the Bengals. It's going to come down to how fit he is, how fit his wide receivers are. And there's fit to come onto the field and throw the ball, but can he move around like he can and use that incredible vision he's got? I think the Eagles are going to be really hard to beat.
So when I got to ask you again about the props, because it fascinates me. You know, I'm always trying to learn from you and my other friends that are in the sportsbook business. I was talking to Mike Palm yesterday, you know, Mike, and I'm just like fascinated by how, you know, you guys operate and how you think and how you react and how you make things happen and the lines and the numbers and everything else. But what really amazes me is the prop betting. People are so fixated with it and so fascinated with it and so obsessed with it. It's almost like fantasy football in that they're, you know, people are so far gone on fantasy that they don't even watch the game anymore to see who wins. They just watch the game to see what their guys' numbers are. Is it the same way now for props on the Super Bowl? In that you put up 1,000 of them, and some people bet 100, 200 props, and they're almost insane. It's like they don't even care about the game itself and the two-point spread.
Okay, let me take those in order. Let's start with Scotty. I've learned a lot more from you than I could possibly teach you. The last 9 months coming on this show has taught me a lot about American culture, and I've loved it. In terms of, I think you're exactly right, the origin of the prop bet popularity is 100% come from fantasy. And you're right, there's a lot of people that can watch a football game and can only see they're watching one player or maybe two players. What we do see is that people that take prop bets, yeah, they do. They take five or six bets in a game. But what we're seeing more, what we see in the Super Bowl, which is different to the normal run-of-the-mill season, is that people want the big odds. People want to bet first scoring play safety. People want to bet Travis Kelce to score exactly three touchdowns. People want to bet, as I said before, safety first scorer. People want to bet first scoring play to be a Giants field goal at $5 or $6. So what we're seeing more and more, people don't want to put their $10 or $11 down to win 10. They want to put their $10 down to win 100. So,
well,
frankly,
well, of course,
that works pretty well for the books.
What? You know what? Like, you know, you got something wrong with you when you start betting on how long the national anthem or the coin flip's gonna be. I mean, honestly, like, I got, you know, Jason, I got bigger fish to fry. I got a real gambling problem over here.
Scotty, you might change your mind. You might change your mind, Scotty, if you're at the rehearsal on Saturday and happen to time the national anthem and knew that it was gonna go 2:11. You might get interested in betting then.
That's
what happens.
You know, that might be, you know, that might be the tip of the day.
Straight after the rehearsal, all the money comes in.
That might be the best tip I've had all week here. I've had food poisoning. Mafia had food poisoning. I hurled 25 times, and I learned that if I go to the rehearsal, I can time the national anthem and make a large wager on the national anthem. For the first time in my life, I'll find out that I care about who's singing the anthem and how long they are winded. That's unbelievable. So you're excited about the game. You got a huge setup at State Farm. You guys are rocking nationally. I had a guy on from the American Gaming Association, Bill Miller, today. 50 million people are going to bet on this game. And that just has to make you lick your chops. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, look, I think it's fantastic. And the Super Bowl is a great introduction to people that aren't traditional. They're not Scotty Farrell. They're not Jason Scott, who've been doing this for a long time. And it gets them into betting on sport, and it starts with the Super Bowl better. And then we'll get them into March Madness and then maybe the NBA Finals. And before we know it, they're outlaying 12 bets in week one of the NFL next year.
I've been hitting a lot of bets lately, Jason, in college basketball. I got to tell you, I've been getting all kinds of horny on the, you know, now that we're into February, I've been hitting games left and right. I can't wait for March Madness. What is bigger now, betting, the one-day Super Bowl or those 3 weeks of college rack?
No, the 3 weeks of college, just the volume of games. It will outfire a Super Bowl. Probably the Thursday will get pretty close to Super Bowl on its own.
Can you believe how sports betting has taken over all the major sports and like the Super Bowl? Honestly, you can't go 10 feet in this building. You can't go 10 feet without seeing something to do with sports betting. You can't go 10 feet in this room, and there are literally 10,000 people in this room right now. You can't go 10 feet without seeing something about sports betting.
Yeah, look, it's certainly overtaking sport nationally. I think it always happened. It was just behind the curtain. People had a guy, or people were betting with Five Dimes, Bodog, Pinnacle, whoever they used offshore. I think we've now brought it into the mainstream. I think fantasy was the right footsteps in through, frankly, our competitors, DraftKings and FanDuel. So it's not going away, and it's not getting smaller, Scotty.
I wish I was in Curacao right now, come to think of it, offshore. You mentioned offshore. I wouldn't mind being with you down in Curacao right now betting on the game, Jason. We should look into that. We love having you on every single week, Jason. We hope it continues for many years. Enjoy the game. I love you, Jason. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Scotty. Good luck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High back at Phoenix for Super Bowl 57. I will tell you that Joe Montana is standing right here off the stage, and it just sends me into complete shock knowing that I watched him play every single game in South Bend for Notre Dame when he was the Irish quarterback his entire career. As you know, my dad was friends with Dan Devine, and I got tickets to Notre Dame games because of that relationship. And I got to watch Joe Montana play every game of his college career, including the 79 Cotton Bowl in Houston with the amazing comeback in freezing cold weather. All I know is when I'm around this guy and I see this guy, that's all that matters in life. That's it. Joe Montana's here. Stop the press.
Does he have a Guinness with him as well? I know he likes to likes a good pint.
If he had a Guinness with him, that would truly take him to, you know, rock star status, Carver High, like mob bar type status. But he does not have a dark, frothy, malty Guinness or Guinness Zero going. Under working conditions, you might want to do a Guinness Zero here while working. Which I would like right now is a Guinness Zero while doing the show. Maybe I'll ask Joe in the break if he'd be willing to get me one.
Yeah, I mean, fire it up. I mean, he must have a keg back there at some point where even his Zero. Zero's popular now for you guys like you, so we got to get it cooking. We'll come back. We'll do the golf when we come back. The Waste Management Phoenix Open, 24 of the top 25 players on the PGA Tour out there with you in Arizona this weekend, and we've got picks I've got the leaderboard, or the odds board, I should say, for the top guys when we come back, and more NFL and college rack as well.
By the way, Carver High has a massive gambling problem with golf in that he makes fat stacks betting on golfers. So when we come back, he'll make you some money with golf. I know nothing about betting on golf.